Good day, friends. We greet you once again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a broadcast brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ in the neighborhood where you live. And we trust as we come to your home today that you'll join us for an investigation, the power of the prophets. Before we get into the message today, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. We probably ought to do this more on the broadcast than we do. We make these programs ahead of time, and we certainly want prayer to be something very special, as truly it is. And let us pray at this time. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy presence with a great and grateful hearts, because thou hast given us a great heart that makes it possible for our life to continue, and also a mind that we can perceive the teaching of thy word. We pray, Father, on the broadcast today for those who make this broadcast possible, for those who stand behind the proclamation of thy word. We pray for those who are in sin today, that they may hear the gospel, believe it, and obey it. And may we make it clear, Father, so they can see thy word and move with deep conviction. We pray for the sick. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. We understand this can be a very great black ebon curtain, so to speak, that comes over the lives and hearts of a family. But may we offer this consolation that God's word is that which is going to be a benefit. And as a good old brother said, Lord, not too long ago, making it very clear that nothing has happened at the death of a loved one that's strange to God. Now be with those who are leading nations, our nation and nations of the world, and may men be aware of the fact that thou art God and doth rule in the affairs of men. Be with us in the broadcast today as we deal once again with the prophets. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, when we talk about the New Testament, we of course talk about the day of Pentecost. And when we begin this series several weeks ago, we went over to Isaiah, the second chapter, and we pointed out how that in the last days the mountain of the Lord's house would be established in the top of the mountains, that all nations would flow unto the Lord, and it would all go forth from the city of Jerusalem. We keyed that into the second chapter of Acts, the day of Pentecost. And then there was a mention made in that sermon that Peter began in verse 14 of Acts 2. You may want to read it. And how Peter referred to two prophets in that sermon. He referred to the prophet Joel, and he referred to the prophet David. Now, I'm not going to get into David today because, well, David was an outstanding prophet. We'll be talking about him in a couple of weeks as a prophet, and I think you'll find that to be interesting. But the prophet of Pentecost that I'm talking about right now can be looked upon as being Joel. And I have my Bible open to the second chapter of Joel, and you may want to write this reference down, in verses 28 and 29. And I'm going to read that at the outset of our lesson today in your hearing. Now, here's what Joel is prophesying many years before it came to pass. And there's the crux of the whole thing. Keep in mind, the power of the prophets truly was the power of God, and how these things were stated many years before they came to pass, and how we've told you time and time again already in this series that we believe this is one of the best ways to prove the validity and the authenticity of the Word of God. Here's what the prophet Joel says in Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Now when Peter began that sermon there in the 14th verse of the second chapter of Acts, he had to answer a charge to begin with. You know, it's a wonderful thing to realize how you can begin preaching the gospel. Oftentimes people say, well, how do you get to talk to people about the Lord? You know, I find people to be very interesting, and it isn't difficult to talk to people about the Lord. You know, it's like trying to find the loose end of a ball of yarn. You find that loose end. Most generally, people are interested in talking to you if you are interested in them, their occupation. But the point I'm trying to make is in a very definite fashion that when you begin to look at this and you begin to talk about the Word of God and you begin to point out the authenticity of God's teaching, this many times with such teaching as we have here is a very interesting something. Now, Peter had to deal with a charge that was leveled at the apostles. This was, of course, a harebrained, we might say rattle-brained decision, but isn't it true with society? You let something happen in the community. It can be a city, it can be a hamlet, it can be a rural area. And there's always somebody in the group that has a pat answer for why that thing's happening. Sometimes they miss the thing a country mile. Well, he said, these men are full of new wine. That's why they're talking here at 9 o'clock in the morning in these different languages. They're just talking languages that, some of us can understand what they're saying, but they're drunken. Now, Peter says these men are not drunken as ye supposed. It was just a supposition. You know, there's a lot of that gets into religion. He said, it's just a supposition. These men are not drunken, you suppose. It's the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what has taken place. Then he goes right back to Joel and prophesied how Joel said that in the last days he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And how true that is that he made this prophecy. Isaiah had said that it would come to pass in the last days the mount of the Lord's house would be established. But here is the prophet Joel telling about a time when the Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? To note that this thing happened in just the manner that Joel said. Now, I want to project on this a little bit. You see, it mentions here about he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Well, it came to the apostles to begin with. Now, it's vital that when we look at that second chapter of Acts, when it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they... The word they has to refer to the 11 apostles and Matthias, which means 12 altogether. They were assembled together in one place. There was a sound that filled the house where they were sitting, as of a rushing mighty wind. And then there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. See, when we read the scripture and analyze it, we can see that sometimes it's different than the concept we get. And so the people, when they heard them speak in these different languages, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance in Acts 2 and 4. So when the people heard this, they said, well, these people are drunken. And so Joel said, Peter said regarding Joel, in the last day, the Lord will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Well, now that Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles. And then since there was no New Testament completed, I want you to get this point, the apostles had the power to lay hands upon people who had obeyed the gospel, that they might have what is termed as spiritual gifts. Now, the Corinthians had all these spiritual gifts, but now this was to continue, according to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, until that which is perfect is come. The thing that did come, as we have in James 1:25, was the perfect law of liberty, and that simply is the gospel. When the gospel was completed, then we'd have, just like we do today, the things that we can read and we can confirm, the things that we advocate by what the Bible teaches. But you see, he did pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And we know there were cases of where both men and women did prophesy. And I'd like to point out that this word prophesy not alone conveys the idea that some person might be able to tell what was going to happen in the future, but it also basically conveys the idea that they were able to teach. So if Christ had given the teaching to his apostles that they were to go into all the world, they were to make disciples of all nations. They were to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were to teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. You see, teaching was going to play a very vital part. And you know that's true in the world today. We preach the gospel. We announce the good news of the kingdom. And then somebody has a question. Someone says, well, what about this? What about the other thing? So then we back up and we sit down, so to speak, and we talk about what the Bible teaches, and that's really a teaching. So I hope when I preach, I'm teaching. But you know, if we just enter into a personal conversation about the Word of God, which I try to do on this broadcast, just like we're in your home, sitting in your front room, talking in a conversation about the greatest book in the world, but whether it gets to you that way or not, you see, there must be a teaching. You can't just offer the gospel and say, now you ought to obey it. You've got to answer the questions as far as you can go, and the way you've got to face this is that you don't know the answer to every question. Don't be afraid to tell people you don't know the answer. I've related to a good many of you that some of the best advice I ever got in my life when I started out preaching was from a brother who had been out there in the field for years. And he said, now, you don't try to be anybody else other than yourself. Don't try to pattern yourself after somebody else. Just develop your own style of preaching. And he said, if you don't know the answer to a question, you tell people you don't know it. And I want to tell you, friends, that's the way to face life. So the point is that teaching enters into it. So you see, they had to be able to teach. Well, they didn't have the New Testament. So the apostles laid hands upon them, and this gift of prophecy included teaching. So as the fourth chapter of Ephesians teaches, that there were teachers, and they were inspired of God. Now, Philip had four daughters that prophesied. So I believe what he's referring to here, when he mentions about the Spirit being poured out on all flesh, it began with the apostles, and then it went on down to other people. Finally, the New Testament was completed. The last apostle had died. John is probably the last one to have expired. He gave us Revelation. And then the people who had hands laid upon them, they couldn't pass that on to someone else. The 8th chapter of Acts shows that when the people at Samaria had heard the gospel and obeyed it that Philip preached, Philip had hands laid upon him, but he couldn't lay hands on them. So Peter and John, who were apostles, came down from Jerusalem and laid hands upon these people. Now, what's all this mean? This simply means that in the prophecy given by Joel many years before Christ came to this earth, that when that Holy Spirit came, Peter was able to say, in the last days the Lord will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And he was referring to the very principle that's offered here by Joel. So in this sense, I think upon Joel being the prophet of Pentecost. You see, he had some wonderful things to offer there. Another interesting thing is that someone says, well, Joel was a minor prophet. Of course, they call him a minor prophet, I suppose, because the minor prophets, their books or their prophecies, as far as the length of them, were not as great as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. But it was valid, just as true and just as wonderful as anything could be. So what does all of this mean to you today? It simply means that when we talk to you about the church, when we talk to you about the plan of salvation, we're talking about something that came by inspiration, the same as this teaching in Joel and the teaching in the second chapter of Acts. What if you had been back there at Pentecost? How would you respond to this? Now, if you'd have been back there hearing the word, you would have been of Jewish origin. It was first to be preached to the Jews. And you know, you had heard this in a synagogue, in your home community, the reading of the law and the prophets, Sabbath day after Sabbath day. And you would have looked at this, and you would have realized that what Peter was saying, when he made reference to Joel, you could remember that. When he made reference to David, you could remember that. You had studied that in the synagogue, and you were aware of the fact that here is this man telling us things that we've heard. And then finally, when he brought this sermon to its climax and said, the same Jesus that you have crucified, and that hit you right between the eyes. Well, I didn't nail him to the cross, and yet I can remember being in agreement, you would say, with those who said he's an imposter. He wasn't even born in Judea. He's from Nazareth up in Galilee. You know, this man has to be put to death. He's going to lead us in such a way that the Romans will come and just put, we might say, take our nation and our position completely away from us. That had been forecast in the 11th chapter of John. And so you had said, well, crucify him. Release Barabbas, crucify him. And then, of course, the darkness came on the earth, and you thought he was dead. You wouldn't have to deal with that again. You know, there are some people who think they won't have to deal with God when they die. Someone said, I don't want to become involved. Well, I want to make it clear to you that God is one we always have to be involved with. And then here you were in this assembly, and you heard all these prophecies being brought out in a very clear way. The same Jesus you've crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. And then perhaps you would be of the number who would say, what must we do? We've killed the Messiah. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you know, that comes home to you today, and you can turn from your sin, and you can become a Christian obeying the same gospel that they did at Pentecost. Well, I hope you'll do it. We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today. May God bless you. We hope you'll obey the truth. If you're a Christian, serve him faithfully, be in the house of the Lord. Tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast, and may God truly be with you as you obey that marvelous truth.